Hi everyone, it is Lydia here. Maybe you just listened to part one, or maybe you're listening to part one a little bit later on, but TDLR, I am pregnant, 4 months. What a turn in the weird years. Not what I was expecting to happen so fast. That is the whole story of part one. But it is what's happened, and I'm very excited for it.
If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years.
But I wanted in this episode to just get into, there's a couple of big chunks that I've been thinking about with this pregnancy, and I wanted to get into those specifically. Honestly, the biggest one is that I really didn't think I was going to be the first one in my immediate friendship group to get pregnant. I thought there was absolutely no way in hell that would happen, actually, because I was, the years were passing and I thought, well, it'll take like at least a year to get pregnant. And I just didn't think I'd be the first one. And actually that, I heard my sister doesn't have children and quite a few of her friends do. And one of my best friend Hannah, her other kind of friendship group, quite a few of them have kids. And I've heard both of them talk about, not in a negative way, but just like how obviously it changes like the dynamic with your friends in some ways, because if everyone has children and you don't, obviously it's like, it's a different experience. You're kind of like going through different stages of your life, or not even different stages, because that makes it sound like everyone goes through it, different journeys in life. And yeah, I think the narrative I've always heard is from people who choose not to have children or can't have children for whatever reason, and them feeling like worried about losing their friends because their friends will just be doing baby stuff all the time and they won't be able to relate or won't want to relate in some way. And yeah, I hadn't ever really thought about it as the person who has the kid when all your friends don't have kids. So that's been really interesting to kind of pick my head around. I felt like a lot of immediate fear of like the women in my life. I just love them so much. Like they are family to me. They are extended sisters. Like they are the aunties of this child that I'm growing. And the idea of them drifting away from me is so incredibly terrifying and sad. A massive part of the practicalities of us staying in London was that we thought if we wanted to try for a baby, I wanted to be in London. I, at some point, I definitely want to move to the countryside. Again, that's another one of the big fat questions of the weird years, which actually hopefully we have an amazing guest called Emily coming on soon to talk about when she sacked it all in and moved to Cornwall. But that thing of like, when and do we leave the city? It's been such a big topic of conversation, and we decided to keep renting and stay in the city because Chris, that's my other boyfriend, Chris, my husband, travels every single weekend, and I didn't want to be like in the countryside having to make new friends with a baby. Like for me, I just thought that sounds like a one-way road to Depressionville. People always talk about how having a baby at the beginning is really lonely anyway. So I was like, well, I want to be surrounded by like these women who I love and trust. So yeah, I think it kind of kicked me into this thought of like getting my head around like, okay, I'm going to be the one with the baby out of the group, at least for now. The other thing is loads of my girlfriends don't want kids. And there's also like this tiny little twinge of jealousy. And I really hope that nothing that I say here sounds like ungrateful, because I am very, very grateful for this child, and this child will be very, very loved, and it's what we wanted, and I'm super happy. And I don't feel I have to make a disclaimer with you guys, but I just will anyway. But you always grieve the lives that you haven't had, or at least I always grieve the lives that I haven't had or the routes that I haven't gone down. That's a massive part of why I started this podcast, was like all the choice being overwhelming and not knowing which route to take. So this lifestyle I see my girlfriends having, who... some of them are single, some of them have partners, but they're either choosing not to have kids or they don't want kids now. It's obviously like, I'm like, fuck, I also don't want to be left out of that. I don't want to be like the boring mum friend. And I also don't want to have to make, again, massive judgment, boring mum friends, but I don't want to have to make friends with people just because we have a child. Like, I'm quite a, I don't know if people would say I'm a, not everyone's cup of tea. I don't know. That sounds like a bit mean on myself, maybe, but I have, I'm very direct. Again, that also sounds bad. I really value honest, open conversation. I will not shy away from things. I want to get into the depths of things. I want to talk psychology. I want to talk about aliens. I want to talk about like all weird philosophies of life. I want to talk about, are we in a simulation? Like, I want to talk about my weird obsession with 9/11. I'm not necessarily a small talk gal who can turn up to the mums and babies club or dads and babies clubs, the parent and babies club, and fit in with everyone. I'm very aware of that. Like, I'm kind of awkward sometimes. And I had this fear of like, oh God, do I have to make a whole new extra group of friends to share this experience with? I think now I feel way more comfortable. Like having, now we're, I'm at 4 months with this pregnancy and having like hung out with my friends. We don't talk about the fact I'm pregnant. We might like vaguely mention it, but that's not like the whole discussion because it's not a very exciting topic. And also it's like, I don't want to fucking talk about birth on the whole. Like, I don't need that negativity in the front of my mind. So I feel more reassured now of like, I've even got a girls trip planned. When are we going? September, I want to say. We're going to Greece. I've got a girls trip planned. I'm thinking of girls trips for next year. I plan to integrate this baby, whether they like it or not, into this friendship group. And also just to get like an amazing, what's the word, babysitter, nanny, who can give me the freedom to still like nurture these relationships. So that was something that really played into my mind. Is like, I don't want to lose my friends because I'm the first in my friendship group to have a baby, my really close friendship group. The other thing I've always been quite scared of is this idea of like losing my sense of self. We actually talked about this with Amy on the episode, I think it's called Babies, Body Image and Breakdowns. We talked about the kind of neural rewiring that you have when you have a baby. Like, there's this thing called matrescence, which is the stage that your brain goes through. It's basically like adolescence, matrescence. You go through this whole physiological change in your brain, your body. So you literally are being rewired. Like, you will not go into pregnancy and come out the other end the same person. And I completely understand that. And, but obviously that is also scary, like the idea of everything changing. I'm trying to go into this with this idea of like, I'm kind of not necessarily upgrading myself, but I am evolving. I'm trying to not be like, I'm going to be the exact same person at the end of this as I was at the beginning. Also, to be fair, I've been fucking lost for ages. That's the point of the podcast. Like, I don't have a really strong sense of direction at this point in my life right now anyway. So I'm kind of like, well, just go with the flow, embrace this new chapter in life. And I heard this person, she was an influencer, I think it was Valeria Lipovetsky, I think it was her. She was saying how she had kids really young, like 21. She had, I think, 3 kids under 5 by the time she was like 26 or whatever. And she was saying how the beautiful thing is like how this will change you. And like, why would you want to go through such a ginormous change in your body and your life and come out the same person? Like, we're always looking to grow, but there's this narrative of like losing yourself, or like almost a bit of negativity around that women should stay exactly the same after they've had a child, even though like, and even physically, right? They talk about that, like bouncing back. It's like, no. We are changing. A massive change has happened. Neurologically, a change has happened. Your body, a change has happened. Like, this is a humongous change, and you will sense change and just embrace that. And her message was kind of like, embrace it and look towards this as like, what's the next evolution of myself, and what am I going to learn from this and adapt from this? And I found that also like really reassuring. I felt like quite empowered by it. I'm trying to really lean into the empowerment of all of this. It's like, yes, I'm really tired all the time. And like, yes, my skin is fucking horrendous, but I do feel powerful and I feel grateful. And like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this idea that, like, we have created a new life. Like, that is bizarre. And I think it's really underrated as well in society. Like, I think we've been programmed to just get on with it, whether that's in sickness of pregnancy or whether that is in when we go back to work. Like, there seems like this narrative of, like, if you can't just bounce back to your old life, you've kind of failed. And I think that's fucking bullshit. And a lot more credit should be given to people who choose to have a child, because it is, even though people hate to say it, like, it is a sacrifice. Of course it is. You're becoming completely responsible for somebody else. Like, of course that's a sacrifice. Like, let's not pretend that it's not, and let's actually reward and embrace it and feel, yeah, proud of that decision if that's something that you want in your life. The other thing that's kind of interesting on this journey is, like, the relationship to your body. I think, again, there's a lot of perceptions from society and from yourself and from misogyny and all these things of, like, how your body, how you should feel about your body changing, and, like, how you should respond to that as well. I'm actually really lucky because I think I've always had a fairly good relationship to my body. I've always been really slim, which conventionally society accepts, because I felt good about that. I've always been able to kind of, like, control my body in the sense of, like, if I get out of shape, I can get in shape again quite quickly. I've always played a lot of sports. I've always been very grateful that, like, it on the whole works. And that's always actually been my measure of success. Like, I haven't ever wanted to diet. Again, I understand this is coming from a place where I'm naturally slim, so, like, there's a layer of privilege in that for sure. I've not had to diet. For me, it's actually always been, I want to gain muscle. I want to be stronger. I want to look strong. I always have wanted to look athletic and strong. So I've trained consistently for, like, 10 years at the gym. So that was a massive difficult part, was those weeks, like 5 to 12, where I felt so unwell that I couldn't exercise. Like, that was really difficult, not from a looking at my body point of view, more from a, like, mentally, I really need that, like, expulsion of energy to feel good. I've now, like, gone back to reformer, and actually for the first time I went and did weights at the weekend, which was, like, amazing. And I'm definitely missing netball. I'm not playing netball because it just felt like a little bit too much risk. And also, I'm really enjoying having super nice nails. Like, I've started getting my nails done, which I could never do when I played netball. I did them myself and they're always nice, but I couldn't have, like, fancy nails because I had to chop them all the way down to my nail bed every time I played netball. So that's been fun. But the weird thing for me is that actually immediately I lost quite a lot of weight in this pregnancy because I lost a lot of my muscle. And that's difficult, seeing something I've worked really hard for. Like, I'm not a girl who's blessed with a bum. I had to work for my bum. And people would be like, what bum, babe? Exactly. I was working hard for that what bum, babe. So that's been a challenge. As an IBS girly, I'm actually really used to being bloated as hell. I'm also used to having the shits. And I'm also used to not shitting for 3 days, which is another thing they don't tell you about pregnancy. Or maybe they do, but I didn't know that. The constipation is real. There is no greater joy than when I manage to do an actual really good poo. Sorry, this is, like, TMI. But yeah, that is a challenge in itself. I feel like the pregnancy has really legitimized my IBS bloat. I don't care if I'm bloated because I'll just be like, that's the baby. It's like, no, it's not the baby. It's because you ate a pizza and you're gluten and dairy intolerant. It's not the baby. It's because you're eating everything you shouldn't. But I've let that go. Maybe it's a reason to get pregnant in itself, to be honest, just legitimize that bloat. And get a seat on the tube. Fantastic. Love it. Do you know what's interesting? The only people who've given me seats on the tube have been women. Granted, it's only happened like 4 times that I've needed to be given a seat, but every time it has been a woman. And it's funny, I actually said that this woman gave me her seat and I was like, oh, thank you so much. I was like, so interesting. It's actually only been women who've offered their seat. And she went, yep. She was like, it will be the whole way through. And she said, and when you have your stroller, your buggy, it will always be women who carry up the stairs for you. She's like, I have 3 kids, trust me. And I was like, interesting. the health side is interesting. I really want to stay active as much as I can, just because I've always been active. And as I said, it really helps like my mental health personally. There's so many apps out there that I'm like, I don't know what to do. Apparently your abs can separate your, you can do all this shit that's like not good for your body. Like your usual workouts wouldn't necessarily be ideal. So I've started an app. That's a kind of interesting thing. It's like working, trying to do weight workouts, which are safe. And I would say, be really careful who you take advice from, because I was at the gym on Saturday, first time in forever. And I was in a room where they were setting up a boxing class, and he was like, oh, you have to like move out the room, we're going to set up boxing. And I went, oh, out of interest, can I box if I'm pregnant? How far along are you? 4 months. And he was like, you could, just don't push too hard. He was like, that's the whole thing with pregnancy. This guy was a trainer, by the way. He wasn't just like a random man's opinion I was asking. I wouldn't ask that. I actually am annoyed that I asked this man's opinion. But he was like, yeah, you could join, but like, just don't push yourself too hard. He was like, I actually have a few pregnant clients, and like, we just don't push anything too hard. Not more than like 2 kg weights. And I was like, okay, well, I've just been doing, what are these even called? Curls with 7 kg. So I didn't say this out loud, but I was like, so I think that's complete bollocks. Like, obviously 2 kg, if you're a fucking tank and you're strong, that's not going to be enough to do anything. And he was like, yeah, you have to just take it really easy, because you can actually lose the baby. I was like, why are you talking? Like, why are you saying that out loud? You're a personal trainer. Like, one thing you just don't say to a pregnant mother who's in the gym surrounded by weights is you can actually lose the baby. So I was like, shut the fuck up, firstly. But it was interesting to me, because I was like, oh, even people who are supposed to be knowledgeable about the human body, it's like a whole other training thing to learn about pregnancy bodies. I wouldn't personally work with a trainer who hasn't had pregnancy training, because he also was being like, yeah, with my clients, we do loads of bike, we do lots of walking, we do like abs. No, he said we do core. Granted, he didn't say abs, but there's also this whole thing of like, you can do deep core work, but you can't do ab work, because the ab work can make your abs separate. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to follow this app, try and stay vaguely healthy and as active as I can. And I'm hoping, like, I literally couldn't do anything for like 3.5 months because I felt so sick. So I've only just got back into it, and I'm hoping from now on it will be good. My reformer teacher, though, oh, amazing, 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 amazing. Her name's Aurora. She's at my local reformer studio. She's literally incredible. She's like, she knows everything. She's done all the training. She'll say to me, like, don't do this, do this. I can't go really hard. Like, obviously she's cautious. Like, I probably would go harder if I wasn't having a teacher. But she just knows the exact moves. So the body journey is interesting. I'm really trying to gear myself up for, like, it's going to happen. You're going to change. And that is just a part of it. And we will, you don't know what the outcome is going to be, right? Like, you don't know what your health outcome is going to be. You don't know how you're going to look. You don't know how you're going to feel. So almost like, don't pay it any dues. Like, don't pay it any attention, and just do what you can in the moment and then deal with it all later. That's like personally my approach right now. Birth. Let's just take a minute for that thought. Birth, birthing, giving birth. Always been a big fear of mine. Do I want to do it? No. Do I want a C-section? No. I always thought I would want a C-section. And then I read into, like, I think they cut through like 7 layers of different tissue and muscles and fat and everything. I'm not a doctor, it might not be 7. I've never done it personally. I've never given one. I've never had one. But they cut through, obviously, your whole abdomen and all of this stuff. So the recovery is, like, actually fucking intense. Like, it's severe abdominal surgery. And with Chris traveling so much, I was like, I can't be out for, like, 8 weeks recovering, because it's a massive surgery. And people might say, like, oh, no, you'll be fine. Like, no, no, that would not be ideal for me. Also, I live in a 4-floor house. How am I going to get up and down the stairs? How am I going to carry anything? Like, I really would love to avoid a C-section if I can. Obviously, I will do medically what they think is necessary at the time, but I would love to avoid a C-section if I can. That's where my head's at now. Also, in my mental little mind, I would like to avoid an epidural. Is she crazy? Probably. When I was younger, I'd always say like C-section, out the sunroof, pump me the fuck full of drugs. But the older I've got and the more I've researched into some of this stuff, I'm like, I just don't know if that's for me. I don't know if that is for me. I would like to, if possible, gas and air and breathe that shit out. What's going to be so funny, by the way, is when I do this weirdly personal episode after giving birth and I'm like, they cut through everything and I'd have never been the same again. That's probably what will happen. But yeah, in my dumb little brain, I'm like, I'll just breathe through it like I do when I have an ice bath. I'll just like really train and I'll breathe through it and it will be possible. So that has led me to look at hypnobirthing. When I say look at hypnobirthing, it's like on my list of things to do, like find out more about hypnobirthing and really train for it. Like, obviously, as a type A girly, I will be training for this. I was training for pregnancy. Like, this is the funny thing that I missed out from part one. I actually was thinking about like growing my glutes, growing my quad. I have loads of problems with my knees, which are caused by not having great glute muscles and like a, what's the word, condition, like my connective tissue doesn't work really well, so I have to like have muscle to support it more than the average person. So I was training for this anyway. So like I had in the back of my head, like, I want to be strong going into this baby. And that's how I'm thinking about birth. I'm like, I'm going to fucking train and I'm going to push that baby out and it will be fine. But obviously inside my head, I'm like, but please don't make me do it. I don't want to do it. I wish Chris could give birth. That would actually be amazing. And that also brings me on to probably my last part of this part two is your partner. Never have I felt that it has been more important to have a great partner than I have in the last 3 months since we found out, 4 months of pregnancy. From the minute it happened, even before we got the positive pregnancy test, he's just been an angel because I was so sick. Like when we moved into this house, like, yeah, I carried boxes and stuff, but like I have done barely anything. I've been the most useless wife who's ever existed. I unpacked the kitchen and then I was like, it's over to you, hon. I feel so sick. I'm going to be horizontal on the sofa whilst you unpack the rest of this house. I just couldn't do it. I was so unwell. Like I could cook a little bit, but I really wasn't bringing much to the table. And it really just reminded me, like I've said this till I'm blue in the face, you can marry someone, you can buy a house with someone, you can date them for 15 years, be together for 15 years. The minute you have a child with someone, like, that person's going to be in your life forever, whether you like it or not. Even if you divorce, they will be in your life in some way. And it really just gave me, I guess I just remembered like, oh yeah, this is why finding the right partner is so important if you want to have kids with a partner. There are people who do it on their own. Actually, I don't know when I'm going to put this episode out, but Kira, she either will have been on the pod or she's coming on the pod, decided to do IVF at 25 on her own. And she felt super comfortable to do that. And I'm like, more power to you, babe. I like really respect that journey. I think she's an incredible woman, incredibly strong woman, an independent woman. Couldn't be me. I'm too useless and not independent. So it's been interesting how it's already kind of affected our relationship and the baby's like not even halfway cooked. Was just how caring he's been. It's really been like a massive, like, I feel very, very, very grateful for that. That, oh my God, thank God I didn't marry a fucking loser, you know? Like, I married an actual man who's amazing. That has been a blessing. And do you know the other thing that I didn't talk about in part one was a massive part of the decision to have kids, and people will not like this, for me, it was financial. I knew that I personally didn't want to be a parent to the point that I would sacrifice my standard of living or my way of life in order to become a parent. I just knew that for me personally, I love to travel. I love to eat nice food. Like, those are really, really important things to me. And I understand people will be like, oh, well, you're ungrateful. Like, I imagine if I ever put this on TikTok, people will be like, well, don't have a kid then. You don't deserve to have a kid then. But I think it's perfectly valid. Like when you ask someone whether they want children, it's often asked in this like vacuum of context. It's like, oh, do you want kids? It's like, well, what's the situation? Like, do I have a partner? Do I not? Where do I live? Do I have a house? Do I not? Do I have a secure job? Do I not? Will I be able to go back to my job or will I not? Will I have support still for my passions and hobbies? Or will I give up all of my time and energy and everything for this child? Like all of those things. It's okay if your decision of whether you want a child is based on really fucking rational things. That is absolutely okay. Because the same people who would come at you with like, oh, well, if you don't want to make sacrifice, you shouldn't have a kid, are exactly the same people who would say, oh, well, this person, like, they don't even have a house, like, they shouldn't have a kid. They're not ready to have a kid. Like, it's two sides of the same coin. Personally, I mean, we don't have time for people on the internet who give that kind of negativity. Let's just state that as a fact. But I just want to say to people in the weird years, if the reason that you don't want children is completely practical, that is absolutely completely valid. And if the reason you do want children is completely practical, that is also completely valid. Like I knew I didn't want children if I had to work 5 days a week and have a really intense job. Like I want the choice to work 5 days a week, absolutely, but I don't want to financially have to do that to survive and to provide a life for our child. Like I knew that, and that's partly why we've waited till this time. And also just because I was having so much fun. But yeah, I'm very, very lucky that I'm able to work 3 days a week. And that's also because I'm a freelancer. Like I've honed my whole life to working the minimum amount of hours for the maximum amount of money because I knew regardless of children, I don't want to work 5 days a week. So that's been interesting as well to be like, oh, there's kind of like this nice thing of like, yeah, okay. This happened very quickly, but we're going into this like the way you wanted to do it. You've got married. You've looked smoking hot in your dress. Let's not debate this in the comments. I loved it. I felt fantastic. And you've set up your life the way that you wanted to. The interesting thing that a lot of people have asked me, and actually maybe I just haven't put enough thought into this yet, is how it will work with Chris touring. Those of you who don't know, Chris is a touring DJ. He's away every single weekend and often like in the week and sometimes for like 2 weeks at a time. They've been like, how will that work? And my answer is, we don't really know yet. We know that obviously I will pick up the slack on weekends. We know that. We know that he will have to tour a bit less. Like he won't be able to go away as much. He won't be able to do like 3 week trips to Asia on tour. But how that looks, we don't really know. Like that's going to be a massive part of the weirdness for me moving forward. It's like, how do we balance our own personal wants and lives, our own personal work, and also this baby? Like I'm not going to be a kind of sacrificial lamb for this. I'm not going to completely give up all my interests in my life. Like the pod is going to keep going. The pod is going to keep podding. I love this. I love this so much. So that's something we're going to be working out in the future. But I'm really happy we've had some of these conversations before getting pregnant. We're having them now. It feels like communication. I mean, I say this again till I'm blue in the face. Like it is just the foundation of everything. Like talk about stuff, talk about what you want, be conscious of it, make decisions based on what you really want. And be honest with yourself. Like, if you know, I don't want to be a mother, don't do it. Or a father or a parent. I don't want to do it. Don't do it. And if you know, I only want to do it in these circumstances, then cater your life to try and get to those circumstances. And if you know, like, actually, I'm so happy to like give up working and I would love to give up working and stay at home, also build your life towards that goal. That's kind of how I'm feeling is, sorry, this pod is never supposed to be advice, and this definitely isn't advice. I'm just sort of reeling off my thoughts at this point, but I feel like there's a lot of question marks, there's a lot of unknowns, but maybe they're like known unknowns, if that makes sense. So going into it with a sense of calmness for now, calmness, fear, a little bit of confidence, I don't know. But yeah, that wraps up the journey so far. We're 4 months in. I will be updating, but this pod is not going to all become about babies. We've got some really amazing topics coming up soon. We're talking about ADHD. We're talking about building like an amazing, creative, female-focused home. We're talking about addiction. We've got that coming up soon, which will be really interesting. And all of these things that might be affecting us in the weird years and shaping how we're thinking. So thank you again for letting me waffle on. And I hope to chat to you all soon. Love you lots. Bye.